Welcome to the Smiling Homeschooler Podcast. My name is Ben Wilson, and today we are playing an episode from a while back where we were joined by Kathy Cook. She's a speaker and author, and she joined us to share some of her encouragement that every child is smart in their own way. This is something every parent should listen to, and we hope you are encouraged. Before we begin, we just want to say thank you to Teaching Textbooks for helping make the Smiling Homeschooler possible. They're an amazing math curriculum and one of the best out there, and we believe they help more homeschoolers smile. So go support them and check out a free trial over at teachingtextbooks.com. Also, thank you to Homeschooling Today magazine for supporting what we do. They're another amazing source of homeschooling encouragement, so please go subscribe to their magazine over at homeschoolingtoday.com. And lastly, don't forget to leave us a review on whatever podcast app you listen on. This is a great way to help others find our podcast and be encouraged. But all right, let's get going. Here's my dad, Todd Wilson.
Well, hey, everybody. We're glad you joined us today. It's cold up here in northern Indiana, and hence I am wearing my coat. But you all know that I usually wear it from about Thanksgiving to Easter, and then I take it off. So it is just a permanent part of my body. We are so glad you joined us, because I think you're going to be super encouraged, because we have a very special guest with us today, Dr. Kathy Cook. And, I was just, before I say hi to you, Kathy, I can remember the very first time I crossed paths with you. I don't think we spoke, but I was walking through a homeschool vendor hall, and I heard people talking about this lady who was speaking and how awesome she was. I had not heard about her. And so when I saw her sign, I like, well, who's Dr. Kathy Koch? You know? and I'm like, oh, she's a doctor. That means she probably doesn't have anything. She's going to say, how to raise nuclear physicists and start early. But she had this quote on her sign, and maybe it was on a t-shirt or something, one or the other, and this may not be the exact one, but it's very close. And it said, who they are is more important than what they do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, right then she had a fan in me, because that's really, I mean, a lot of people will say those kind of things. Moms want to believe that, but by their actions, you can tell they often are thinking, what can I turn this kid into? And so, Kathy, it is a pleasure to have you with us today.
I'm delighted and honored. I've enjoyed you and respected you for years. So thanks for the invitation.
Well, again, we're going to jump right in. You've written a book called Eight Great Smarts, and you've written other books. What I love about the heart of your message and your ministry, Celebrate Kids, is that you really are about seeing the amazing creation that God's put in your children. So maybe you could give us just a quick overview before we delve into it of what's the Eight Great Smarts about?
Right, I would love to. So this is a research model from Dr. Howard Gardner, who's at Harvard University. This is not my original work. I enjoy taking other people's work and making it better. Adding the Christian piece, if you will. But he determined through a variety of ways that we have one brain divided into eight parts, and all of us have all eight. And Todd, I got really involved in this when I was so concerned for children who learn differently, who were labeled disabled. Mm. But in fact, they're not disabled, so many of them. They just learn differently. Yeah. And if we would walk toward them and help them figure out who they are, then they could be as successful as other kids. So there's word smart. When we're being word smart, we think with words. When we're being logic smart, we think with questions. I only teach those two first because they're the school smarts. Because what do we do traditionally in school? We read, write, speak, listen, ask and answer questions. In fact, Todd, a lot of people probably homeschool their kids because they might have had their kids in a different system. It didn't work. And they pulled them and brought them home because they knew that the system there was way too based on those two smarts alone. But there's six others. When we're picture smart, we think with our eyes. When we're excited, we add to our visuals in our mind and on paper. When we're being music smart, we think with rhythms and melodies. And when we're excited, we probably make music. So if you have a hummer, a toe tapper, or somebody who turns pencils into drumsticks, that's a music smart kid. Mm. And then body smart kids move, shake, rattle, and roll. They move and they touch, and they do that more when they're excited. And so they can get in trouble a lot, sit down, sit still, and praise God in the homeschool community. We don't have to have that attitude toward them. Nature smart kids think with patterns. That's how they know it's a bluebird, not a blue jay, an elm tree and not an oak tree. They love the out of doors. They love biology more than they do chemistry. And then there's two more that are super important. People smart kids and adults think with other people. These are the children who always want to tell you what they know. They would rather do something with a group, even if it's you, than by themselves. They're good at negotiating and compromising and collaborating and all those kinds of things. And then self-smart kids is the exact opposite. So people smart kids think with other people. When they're excited, they talk to people. Self-smart people think inside of themselves. And when they're excited, they want to go off and think more by themselves. And those kids can frustrate homeschool moms because it can be harder to attach to them, harder for them to share with you what it is that they have going on up in their head. So I hope that was helpful. That's a list of the eight.
Yeah, and that's where we're going to kind of let that begin with that. But I'm kind of fascinated by that one giant word you have in there, smart. Mm-hmm. You know, because really, up until recently, we all knew what smart was. It was kids who were good in school. And, you know, and really that's, and we said everybody else was okay. You know, they might have had some gifts, but they really weren't smart.
Right.
And, you know, for the homeschooling moms who are listening, you know, the moms who have these kids who have the logic smart and the word smart, they're not struggling. You know, right. The ones right. who are struggling are the one, you know, my child is struggling, you know, he doesn't like school. He doesn't like these things. And it just saddens me to, and this is what I was so drawn to at the beginning, that, you know, they thought, now if I could only make my child logic smart and word smart.
Yeah.
So how about we start with the third one in your list, the picture smart. What does that kid look like? And, you know, and what should I be looking for? What will be the distinguishing marks to notice that child?
Yeah, I love that. They're visually creative. They probably doodle a lot, and it might help them pay attention if we allow them to doodle, even taking notes during a sermon as an example. They might turn the page and look at the picture first before the words. They might remember the word has a particular shape because their eyes are drawn to shape and design. History and fiction are probably what they do well and are good at because it comes alive in their mind when they're reading it or when they're listening to you read a story. They love that because they can imagine everything that's going on. So creative geniuses.
Yeah. Do you feel like, so for music smart, that's one that I think is really interesting to try to wrap my mind around because I'm not really that direction. But what does that look like, as Dad said, for picture? But then also, do any of these, you know, what does a combination of these look like? Do you usually have one that if you're strong in this one, maybe you're, you know, tend not to be as strong in that one? Or is it completely just depends on the kid?
It's such a good question. Again, we have all eight. All children have all eight. The earlier they're awakened, the greater the likelihood they're a strength for a lifetime. So as an example, my brother and I were raised by an engineer, our dad, and a musician, our mom. And so for Dave and I, both the logic, questions, analytical, sequential side of things was lifted young. Todd, I'm a problem solver. I'm a thinker. That's why I do what I do. My brother's a clinical chemist. Dave still plays the trumpet. I used to play about 20 instruments. So if they're birthed early, they can connect in a way. Here's another way of looking at it. If you have a child who's music smart and logic smart, they might become a sound engineer. If you have someone who is music smart and body smart, they become a drummer or a trombone player. They can remember how far out to slide the slide.
And before we talk about some of the others too, so for a person who, you know, say I have a child who's picture smart, how do I adjust my homeschooling day around that? Because, you know, I know I can't just let them draw pictures all day. but what battles maybe do I forego? And, you know, and really in my head, what do I say, you know, as we're doing school, what do I say to myself so I don't frustrate him or her and I don't frustrate myself?
Oh my gosh, those are such great questions. The purpose of school is to get children ready for life, not more school.
100%.
So if you believe that you have an artistic, picture-smart child who might be a children's book illustrator, an architect, a landscape architect, if they're also nature-smart, an engineer. My dad was so picture smart. He could walk into a room, hang a picture above the couch exactly in the middle and not measure. I'm talking exactly in the middle and not even have to measure. So understand there are skills here that can lead to career and, more importantly, can lead to joy. You know what, guys? We're created for an abundant life. And all eight of these matter for life. They don't just matter in school. They matter in life. How many of us know people who did very, very well in school and they're flunking life?
Yeah.
Right? They were worded right. Logic and school was their safe place, but life has just been a tornado. And what about the opposite, where school was very challenging? Getting them to go and to do their work was really hard. This might be your story now, even as a homeschool mom, but watch out, world, here they come. And they're going to be entrepreneurs and they're going to be creative and they're going to, you know, combine them all. So as an example, though, from a practical standpoint, if you know your child enjoys drawing and is good with the pictures and he's struggling to memorize vocabulary definitions, have him draw the definition. So one day you talk about the word apartment, condo, ranch style home, factory, farm, barn, whatever. And then the next day they draw a very quick sketch, one color. Otherwise, Picture Smart Kids will do it for 8 hours. You know, and they draw the definition and they prove to you that they can draw an apartment building, a high-rise apartment building, a condominium, a duplex, and a ranch-style home. And then for the People Smart Kids, they would maybe debate with somebody why it's better to live in a high-rise apartment complex, why it's not good to live in a high-rise apartment complex. Logic Smart Kids, again, think with questions. Answers are important to them. Word Smart, always the talking is really good for them. So they do work in combination.
Would you also say, you know, like videos and things, audios might be a good helper for those kids? Because I know I'm a picture smart person. So I like stories. I do like pictures. Numbers are very abstract to me. So if you give me the number 345 in 3 minutes, if you ask me to repeat them, I will get all
that's
of them
generous,
wrong.
Generous, probably.
Well, and I know you're picture smart. Look at the wall behind you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your question? It was a good question.
I don't know.
Oh, you said audio
gosh,
video
guys.
does
yeah,
that.
Audio and videos, yeah.
Video, you know, and again, because we have all eight, video will never hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. But it might motivate your picture smart kids. It might engage the picture smart kids. And you know what, Todd and Ben, it honors the picture smart kid. If you only use, you know, textbooks and paper and pencil and lined paper and everything has to be just so, the other six parts of their brain, they feel unimportant in your own presence. And this is not what we want, right? So videos are great. Books on tape, that's really old. Books on tape. Audio, I'm old. Audio, you know, audio books certainly would be a great thing too for all kids. Absolutely.
The part that I think is just wild is, you know, I was talking to some of my coworkers and they were all public school except for one. And we were talking about this and this basically this whole concept. And the thing that is interesting is it's so intuitive, you know, I mean, everyone understands it, but then they don't truly get it. You know, it's like they agree. They're like, yeah, that totally makes sense. But then they're so ingrained into this is just how it's all done. How do you think a mom can help her kid in a culture that does hold up the word smart and the logic smart, help them feel smart, quote unquote, you know, even if they're not, those are not their strengths? Because, you know, we all know that is not the only signifier, but unfortunately, a lot of people out there don't hold that, you know, and it's a bummer.
That's so interesting because, you know what, Ben, your friends who went to the other system, they're very used to that hierarchy. They're used to the GPA. Yeah. They're used to the honor roll. They're used to, I'm the smart one, you're not. And they don't want to give up that hierarchy because they met their needs there. And so we have to know that there's truth here and it's really profitable. You know, I don't know if you guys know the IQ tests. It's all like it's rote memory and it's how many inches in a ruler. Who the heck cares? You can ask
right.
that, you know? And so it's okay. And so one of the things that we can do is help people understand how false IQ has been through the years. And another thing, Ben, show them historical figures that have changed the world through the different ways that they're smart. Show them a Picasso and a Beethoven, a Bach, and a George Washington Carver who invented thousands of things from a peanut. Show them Jesus Christ and others who exemplify all eight in a really precious way and help them identify family members who they love and go, do you have a lot in common with grandpa? Because you both love to draw jigsaw puzzles. You know, that's a logic smart, picture smart thing. Just show them their heroes and to help them understand that you can find joy here. You can make a career here, but we don't live for career. We live for purpose. Mm. It's not always just career, right?
Yeah. Right. And honestly, if a lot of times I'm a history major. I love history. Is if you look at some of those people who, you know, changed the world or saved the day or whatever else it may be, a lot of them weren't that way. They weren't their traditional form of smart. You know, you look at like Ulysses S. Grant. He was pretty much a failure in everything he did, except, you know, he was great and made for what he did, you know, but in a lot of other areas he wasn't. So I think that's so encouraging. But real quick here, I'm going to take a moment to thank Teaching Textbooks for making the Smiling Homeschooler possible, for supporting us. We appreciate them. They're an amazing math curriculum. We find lots of kids learn better with Teaching Textbooks. It's engaging, it's fun, it's interactive, and it can kind of take some of that, some of the stress and the some of the tears out of math time, which a lot of people, that's their least favorite time of school. So if that's you and you haven't tried Teaching Textbooks, definitely go do so. They have a free demo over at teachingtextbooks.com. We appreciate their support.
And I would even add to what Ben just said about, you know, as I was saying, I'm a picture person, or picture smart. Teaching Textbooks is kind of one of those math programs I think I could have done, because numbers were hard for me, even though I took calculus. I faked the whole thing. But but they were able to, you know, and Teaching Textbooks, it is visually on the, you know, and they have little owl buddies and that help you along the way. And I think it, but we also want to thank Homeschooling Today magazine. They want to encourage you to join the growing movement of parents who are setting aside comparisons, taking control of their children's education, choosing courage over fear, and letting God lead and homeschool boldly. And I'm just going to encourage you to check out their interactive digital companion that they help walk alongside you. They know you're busy. That's why they give you the opportunity to listen to some of your favorite columnists, and I'm in there, as the authors read their articles to you. You can also access links and resources with a click, and even watch videos that pertain to the print edition. You can learn more at Homeschooling Today magazine. Well, Kathy, how about we look at that next one? So we talked about Word Smart. Well, we really didn't talk about it, but we all know about those. Picture Smart and Music or Rhythm and Melody Smart. How about that Movement or Body Smart?
Right. These are kids who are often told to sit down, put that down, look at me. They will change the world through their actions. They might be athletes or actors, dancers or clay sculptor, or frankly, the car mechanic who can open the hood of the car and find the oil filter and grip it and grab it and you know, get it out and put it back in with no problem. These are kids who might be great lawyers who pace in front of the jury pool and pace in such a way that they convince the jury that they know more than the other guy knows, right? So they can be a handful, but you know what, at homeschool, they can do 5 jumping jacks after 10 math problems. They can do science in the rocking chair and English at the kitchen table and sprawl out on the floor when they're working on a math assignment. And that's one of the advantages, again, at the homeschool family room, if you will, is changing that up and helping body smart kids be able to move freely so that they're better. Now, Todd, I do teach you're not allowed to move if your parent has said stop it and you're irritating the sister. They'll go, I'm body smart. No. I get to move. No, obedience is right.
Yeah.
So you need to be really careful of that. But what I'm convinced of is if a mom and dad understand how children are created to be and they honor that creative intent by God, and let them be that often, then they're going to be able to handle it when they have to sit still and work on a boring math paper.
Yeah.
Well, and this whole system of thinking really works best in a homeschooling model because, absolutely, you know, like in a regular school setting, this stuff that you're talking about, it's hard to do. I mean, so they concentrate on the word and logic and the 50% or whatever who can do it, or maybe really only 30 or 40% who can do it, you know, do well. And then the others are put in shop classes or music classes.
Yeah.
And then they have this label of, oh, they take the easy classes.
Yes. Or, yeah, you know, I'm so sad you're not smart. You're just creative. I love kids that, you know, if they can choose the right shade of blue and they can, you know, create music, it's because they're smart. You're not just creative. Mm. You're smart, therefore you're creative in these ways. Mm. So important.
Do you think one of these is most often overlooked or maybe least noticed by, you know, people of like, hey, this is actually one of those, but it, maybe it's labeled as something else, or I don't know which one of those would be.
I think Bodies of Our Kids, you know, they're the ADHD, you know, get into trouble kind of kids. And actually, if you do some research, in fact, the military just finally, praise God, they're now recruiting ADHD students or children, teenagers, young adults, because they figured out that they can multitask better than anybody else.
Wow.
That's very, very interesting. You can look into that. But we tend to label the kids that make it hard for us to teach. You know, I'm a former teacher in the public school and private school, school board member, university professor, and you know, sit down and look at me, you know, toe the line, so to speak. But you know what? It's not about us getting them to toe the line. It's about them becoming who they were created to be. And we have to give them that freedom within the boundaries, of course, which are given in love, because they have to learn how to work a system that's going to have some control to it. Hmm. So I think body smart's misunderstood, nature smart's misunderstood. We don't have to go outside, just sit down. Nature smart kids are drawn to the outdoors, the wind and the sun, and they would rather pet a dog than talk to a person, many of them. Now, we have all eight, so that's an exaggeration. But if you know that's true, if you're raising a truly nature-smart kid, she's all about the fruit flies and the earthworms. She doesn't want to do the lesson on magnets and pulleys.
Right, right.
You know, mommy, can we study fruit flies some
more? Yeah, yeah.
Then and really, I mean, before you say anything, man,
yeah,
you know, really, again, a wise parent would say, so I'm going to spend less time on magnets and pulleys, and I'm going to try to use some of the school that I would like to teach her, and I'm going to use the vehicle of gophers and groundhogs and, you know, trees.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You do what you can. And, you know, if you have a nature smart child and she has to do a report for history, maybe she's in a co-op, or maybe you have an advanced student and she's doing a report on history, let her study in an explorer. If you have a logic smart kid, have her study a politician. You can do those kinds of things in the homeschool community way easier than they can across the world.
Right.
How do you encourage a mom, you know, who, and as a parent as well, you're not going to do it perfect every time. You know, you're not going to get exactly every single lesson is perfectly, you know, geared towards them. And, you know, if they're feeling like, oh no, I'm going to fail my kid, I'm not, you know, I'm not doing it to their strength every time, I'm, you know, they're jumping up and down and I'm yelling at them, telling them to sit down, that kind of stuff. How do you encourage a mom that, you know, they're not going to do it perfect every time, you know, what would you say to her?
Oh my gosh, look at the smile on your face. That's normal. Hello, exactly. Normal. No, and it's not about being perfect. You know, you're the perfectly imperfect parent for your kid, or that kid wouldn't be your kid. God ordains the family. So we learn from that, and we recognize the pattern of their behavior and their motivation and their attention span, and we apologize if we can. You know, Ben, if a mom is listening to this and she recognizes that she hasn't understood her kid, no shame or blame for yesterday. Yeah. You didn't know this yesterday. Praise God that you're here, that Todd and Ben and I are here. Buy my book, learn a little bit more. And then you excite your kids. I found out something really cool about you, and I can't wait to teach you in even a better way now. And you apologize if you feel like you need to. Kids are resilient. They're flexible. They'll come your way.
Mm. Yeah, that's great.
Well, let's talk. We have two more to go, and then I want to let people know how they can get more. You know, like People Smart is, again, one of those that, you know, we have children who interact so amazingly with, and, you know, they may say things like, I just want to be a mom, or I just want to be around people. But again, you know, we have such a trouble tying that to academics.
Yeah.
So what do we do?
Well, that's a great question. Where did that, you know, we understand it is academics. I mean, People Smart kids think with other people. So this is the teacher and the student. This is the TED Talk that you encourage your 12-year-old to listen to. This is a kid who goes to youth group and wants to learn and doesn't want to just have fun. This is a kid who wants to study Beethoven because he wants to get inside Beethoven's head to find out what it is that Beethoven was thinking about the way that life works. So studying people, like, it'll change you. I actually think this is the most important smart. Because you read body language well if you're people smart. So you can tell if somebody's mad, sad, happy, glad. You know, Todd, for you and I as teachers, you have to know if somebody's confused or curious, pondering or bored, right? If you can look out, or in a marriage, if you're parenting a kid, to look at your kid and go, oh, she's not frustrated, she's curious. That's the look of curiosity. It matters greatly. and learning how to agree to disagree and when to compromise and when not. These are really important skills. It's about life. My nephew is very logic smart. Got a job as an engineer right out of college and was promoted first out of the 13 young men and women who were in his incoming class at this company. First one promoted, first one allowed to travel on his own without a supervisor. Why? Because of his people smart ability.
Yeah.
Great listener, great communicator, persuade without debate, to convince without arguing. These are critical skills to life.
100%. I mean, I know with even in our company, you know, we're very technical. I work in an IT company. And even though that is a very technical industry, you know, a lot of times you do want people who are extremely experienced, but 9 times out of 10, we would definitely choose someone who's better in, with interacting with people over just being extremely good. And honestly, some of the people we've had the biggest issues with are then the people who know it all, but they don't know how to interact with people and they're miserable to work with. So
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathy, this is the question that I really want answered. And that's, like Ben said at one point, you know, the people listening, the moms listening are nodding their heads. Yep, I can see my daughter just like that. I can see my son just like that. And they believe you and the tears are coming down their face right now. And then tomorrow they wake up and they start school. And they may even be thinking, you know what Kathy said last night is right. But those doubts creep back in. Yeah. How do you stay on this course? I mean, absolutely, everybody should go pick up this book, 8 Great Smarts. But how do you, I mean, you can reread it every year and that's a good thing. But how do you stay the course and not be swayed from your co-op lady who says, oh, you should see what my son did, you know, he came up with the new Dewey Decimal System, you know, and he's in fourth grade, you know, and you're like, oh, my kid can draw pictures, that's it.
Well, that's not it. So yes, right, one exactly. thing, of course, I'm so sorry for my voice. One thing, of course, is to not compare, because that comparison is a thief of joy. We all know that.
Yep.
Here's the thing, two things. One is try to make one small change. Mm. One small change. Let your kids do 5 jumping jacks. Let your kids study in a beanbag chair so she's free to move. Let the logic smart kid put questions in a question jar that you're going to answer for 30 minutes on a Friday. Give them grace to be who they've been created to be and give them space for that. A second thing that I think a lot of people would tell us who have read my book and heard me speak, teach your children how they're smart. Mm. Let them listen to this. And skim read the book with them. And when you read a paragraph, go, oh, Katie, come here. This lady, she's talking about you. And read the paragraph that beautifully describes your daughter, Katie. Because if they find out how they're smart, they will expect you to honor that. Mm. Not in an arrogant, boastful, or argumentative way. That would be sin. But for a kid to say, Mommy, remember, I'm music smart. Could I make up a song to help me remember this? Mm. Like, yes.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Well, before we run out of time, I want to make sure that everybody knows where they can get a hold of you. I mean, you can just put in your name and it comes up very quickly. But if they want to get your book, they can get it at your website, celebratekids.com. And I also wanted to give a little plug because they can hear you in just a couple months, right? You're going to be in Mark Twain's home territory.
Yes.
And you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, that's really cool. Thank you. Yeah, so our website is celebratekids.com. If you do put my name in, it is spelled K-O-C-H. It's pronounced Cook, but you're going to want to Google Kathy K-O-C-H. And, you know, I've got Facebook and Instagram, and we've got our own podcast. But we're doing the Ignite Women's Conference in Hannibal, Missouri, March 10th and 11th. We'll do a comedy and worship night on Friday night. And then from 8:30 or 9 o'clock until 5 on Saturday, we've got TED Talk-style keynotes and some seminars. The conference this year is Delivered. We want to come together and encourage women to become who they were created to be and to leave the junk in the room at the end of the day. We're excited about that.
And you can learn more about that at IWC23.com.
Yep. Thank you for recognizing that, Todd. That's kind of you.
No, I was fortunate enough to be a man in that conference last year and the year before, and it was just such an amazing time. Of seeing what the things that happened, and they can get your schedule of where you're going to be speaking, I assume, on your website. Or
unfortunately, that part of our website's still being developed, which is sad.
Okay.
I will be at several of the Teach Them Diligently conferences this year. I'll be in Iowa. I'll be in Illinois. I'll be in South Dakota. I'll be in Pennsylvania.
I think you're going to be with me in March at Cedarville again.
Yeah, Cedarville, Ohio, for the one day Teach Them Diligently. That'll be great.
Well, Kathy,
so grateful. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for spending the time with us. Thank you for, especially she doesn't feel great. So, but you sounded good. And thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for reminding those moms about the amazing masterpieces that their kids have been created to be, and you encourage them to enjoy them in the midst of that. And you got my thumbs up.
Good. Thank you so much, Todd and Ben. What a delight to be with you both. Thank you for trusting me with your important audience.
Thank you for being here. Thanks for joining us. Please pick up Dr. Kathy's books over on our website for more encouragement. And thank you to Teaching Textbooks for sponsoring The Smiling Homeschooler. Check out a free trial of their amazing math curriculum over on their website, teachingtextbooks.com. Have a great week, and as always, keep smiling.